My husband dropped $1 million on a luxury house for his ex-wife and even gave her part of his company shares. To me, it felt like a deliberate challenge, but this time, I didn't care. When James finally came home that night, I had just thrown away the empty syringe from my pregnancy-preserving shot. It was our second pregnancy, and at only 2 months in, I was already displaying symptoms that indicated a potential miscarriage. That morning, I noticed some bleeding and rushed to the hospital. The doctor said if I wanted to keep the baby, I needed to take daily shots right on time, but I hadn't planned on telling James about the pregnancy. When James walked in and noticed the empty dining table, he frowned, clearly irritated. "Did you forget what day it is?" Of course I remembered. It was James' birthday. No matter how busy I was every year, I'd take the day off, make his favorite dishes, and bake a cake from scratch. I never missed it, from my days as a junior employee to now as a senior manager. But this year was different. This year was the last, and James hadn't even bothered to come home on time. Without looking at him, I scrolled through Lindsay's old posts. It hit me then that since she started working as James's secretary, she had been flaunting gifts from him. In just a year, she had received more than I had in 8 years of marriage. A sarcastic smile crept across my face. "Spent nearly $1 million on her, and she still couldn't treat you to dinner?" His face darkened, just as his phone chimed with a new message. Glancing at the screen, his expression softened, and a smile tugged at his lips. I didn't need to ask. It was Lindsay. When he looked back at me, the anger was gone. "Let's grab something to eat. That barbecue spot is pretty good." Thinking this might be our last dinner together, I nodded. 20 minutes later, James dropped me off on the side of the road in front of a rundown barbecue stall. Before I could even look around, he floored it, leaving a cloud of dust in his wake. The dirt splashed right onto my face. I quickly covered my eyes and turned away, realizing the stall wasn't open tonight. Nearby, two other food stands cluttered with greasy tables caught my eye. Middle-aged men with bloated bellies sat around, casting lecherous glances my way. I hadn't realized how quickly I'd rushed out. I was still in my nightgown. Then I found myself huddled on the steps by the road, feeling vulnerable and alone. It was nearly midnight. This deserted alley wasn't exactly buzzing with available taxis. I felt a cold sweat starting to form. Just as I was about to reach for my phone to call the police, a drunk man staggered toward me, swaying with a beer bottle in hand. I noticed a wedding ring on his finger as he slurred, "Hey girl, how about a drink? Out here alone this late. $200, come with me." My face went cold as I stepped back. "Get lost. Stay the hell away from me." Fueled by the alcohol, he got angry, lunging at me and smashing the beer bottle on the ground. Luckily, the noise caught the attention of a passing car. The driver stopped and offered to take me home. I couldn't stop shaking from fear the whole ride back. As soon as I got home, a sharp pain shot through my abdomen. I downed a glass of hot water, trying to calm myself, just as James stormed in, slamming the door. "How could you come back without telling me? I circled that alley a dozen times, scared out of my mind that something had happened to you. I almost called the cops. Do you think this is some kind of game?" I froze, gripping the glass tightly, my expression going cold. If James had been looking for me, he would have seen that the barbecue stall was closed. Clutching my stomach, I shot back with a mocking smile. "Worried about me? You left me in a place like that. Were you scared something might happen to me? Or scared nothing would, and you expect me to tell you?" I tried, but I guess I'm still blocked. So that was impossible, wasn't it? God knew how often I'd tried calling him while stranded, rehearsing my last words in case something went wrong. His lips pressed into a thin line, realizing his mistake. Frustrated, he threw the cake he had brought down on the table. Kindness wasted. James stormed off to the bathroom, and I could faintly hear him laughing, as if he were finding the whole situation ridiculous. The pain in my abdomen became unbearable, and I collapsed onto the sofa, my face turning pale. I glanced over at the cake he'd thrown. A piece was already missing. With shaking hands, I opened Lindsay's latest post on social media. In the picture, two shadows were reflected in the floor-to-ceiling windows of a Riverview mansion. A strawberry cake with a single candle sat in the corner. Her caption read, "For every birthday from now on, we'll be by each other's side. The ultimate expression of love is in the ritual." I fought back tears, trying to stay calm for the sake of pregnancy. I couldn't cry, not now. Gripping the sofa for support, I threw the cake into the trash. James came out of the bathroom just in time to see what I had done, his face darkening with anger. "What's your problem now? You're the one always going on about rituals. I drove across half the city to get you that cake, and you just toss it away? I've explained this 100 times, and you're still not satisfied? All I did was give an employee a house as a reward. Are you ever going to let this go? Ever since Lindsay joined the company, you've been acting crazy every day. No wonder the baby didn't make it. With a mother and a family like this, it's a blessing he wasn't born." Before I could register his words, my hand flew up and slapped him across the face. I screamed at my husband, "Don't you dare talk to me about the child. Having a father like you would be his misfortune." Without waiting for a response, I spun around and ran into the bedroom, slamming the door behind me. A second later, I heard James outside, yelling in frustration. Eventually, the shouting faded, and tears streamed uncontrollably down my face. When I woke up the following day, James was already gone. I called a lawyer and had divorce papers drawn up. While preparing to send them to his office, I saw a celebratory video on their corporate account. Lindsay was promoted to company shareholder, holding the same title as James. She was no longer just a secretary. She now held an executive position. In the video, they hold champagne glasses, toasting each other as employees cheer them on. James's wedding ring was replaced by a more delicate one that matches Lindsay's, a new model from this year's collection. I couldn't help but laugh bitterly. I remember when we got married, his company was just starting out. I only asked for the cheapest ring at the store to ease his financial burden. He was moved to tears and promised to buy me the most expensive ring when he made more money. 8 years later, the ring he promised me ended on another woman's finger. Just as I finished sending the divorce papers, James called. "I'll pick you up tonight. The company is having a team building event." Lindsay said she wanted wants to clear up any misunderstandings between you two. Before I could respond, he hung up. I didn't expect him to unblock me right before the divorce, and I wasn't sure whether to feel amused or heartbroken. A mocking smile crept onto my lips. A misunderstanding? Is she here to explain or to show off? I thought. But at that point, I didn't care anymore. I started looking for a new place to live, knowing I couldn't stay in this toxic environment. It wasn't safe for me, or for the baby. After searching all day, I found a place and paid the deposit. I gave myself the prescribed injection, and just as I started packing, I got a notification that James's car had pulled up downstairs. I went down in my pajamas, thinking we could talk seriously, but the moment he saw me, his face twisted in disgust. "You're going out like that? Can you stop embarrassing me? People will think I can't even afford to buy you makeup." Sitting in the passenger seat with her perfect makeup, Lindsay giggled and opened the door. Standing next to her, I felt even more worn out and drained. Before I could respond, she smiled brightly and nudged me into the back seat. "Oh, Shannon, no need to get all dressed up. You're already beautiful enough. Besides, do you think James would even let you leave the house if you got all dolled up?" The door shut behind me, and she casually slid back into the front seat. They chatted nonstop during the drive while I sat in the back, feeling like a complete outsider. In our 8 years of marriage, I had never seen James this eager to share anything with me. At that moment, I clearly felt the difference between being loved and not being loved. When the car finally stopped, I was shocked to see that the team building event was being held at the same barbecue stall where I had almost been assaulted the other night. The owner was open for business this time, and the tables outside were packed with company employees. When they saw James step out with Lindsay, they rushed to greet the two, calling them Mr. Carter and Miss Thompson, while the employees ushered them to the center of attention. I scanned the area and noticed only one seat left in the corner. At that moment, Lindsay playfully smacked her forehead and stuck out her tongue as if she had just remembered something. "Oh no, I totally forgot about Shannon's seat. Can someone make some room?" Before I could say a word, James had already spoken for me, turning down her offer. "There's no need. I'll just sit here. It's just dinner." I didn't argue. I walked straight to the corner seat. The table was full of new hires, none of whom knew who I was. James didn't bother introducing me, so no one tried to talk to me. I was grateful for the quiet. It wasn't until I overheard a conversation that I realized Lindsay had suggested this place. She was reminiscing about how she and James came here often in school. I only took a few bites when a familiar voice sounded in my ear. "Well, well, isn't this the girl who wouldn't take my offer that night? Back again tonight to look for clients? How about $500 this time? Deal." Goosebumps prickled over my skin as soon as I heard the voice. James glanced my way, his expression darkening, but he didn't budge. It was my male colleagues who stepped in to handle the situation. Meanwhile, James just raised his glass with a cold, condescending smile. "No wonder I couldn't find you that night. Looks like you were busy with your business." I froze in shock, my face flushing with anger and humiliation. I stood abruptly, ready to leave, but Lindsay rushed over, blocking my path. "It's all my fault," she said, her voice dripping with fake sincerity. "I shouldn't have picked this place. I'm so sorry. Tonight was supposed to clear up misunderstandings, and now I've made it worse. I'll punish myself. I'll drink." Before I could respond, she grabbed a bottle and downed it. The diamond on her finger caught the light, sharp and blinding. Only then did James finally move. He walked over, his voice laced with irritation. "Lindsay already apologized. What more do you want? Just let it go and stop making a scene." I let out a bitter laugh. "Oh, so she apologizes, and I'm supposed to just forgive her? Is that how it works now?" James's frustration boiled over, his brows furrowed as he snapped back. "She already drank for you, and you're still going on about this? Even if you're mad, there's a limit." He shoved a bottle of alcohol into my hand, the message clear. I pressed my lips together, my fury threatening to spill over, but I kept my voice ice cold. "I can't drink. I've got somewhere else to be, so I'm leaving." Before I could walk away, James grabbed me by the neck, his grip tight. "Shannon, have I been too nice to you? Lindsay drank an entire bottle for you, and you're just going to walk out?" He yanked me hard, slamming me against his chest. He pried the bottle open and forced it toward my mouth. The liquor poured down my chin, soaking my clothes as I choked and coughed, clutching my stomach in pain. He tossed the empty bottle to the ground, still fuming. "Don't be ungrateful." Tears welled in my eyes, not from sadness, but from the physical strain. His angry, threatening words kept coming. "Apologize to Lindsay, or we're getting divorced. I'm done with this." Everyone around us expected me to explode, to lose control, but I didn't. I composed myself, even as my face burned with humiliation. I nodded calmly. "Fine then, let's get divorced." I took two steps, but Lindsay grabbed my arm, panic creeping into her voice. "Don't be impulsive. Divorce isn't a small thing. You shouldn't do this because of me. Get lost." I yanked my arm free, sending her stumbling backward. James snapped, his fury exploding. He grabbed an empty bottle from the table and hurled it at the back of my head. The next moment, I collapsed. Crimson blood pooled beneath my nightgown, soaking the floor.